In Acts, if you would just turn to Acts 2. You know, it's remarkable because now there's just a shift, because in my heart I come with such a, it's awesome to see you, Jonathan. Awesome to see you. Hallelujah. I just come with such an expectancy for what God can do. I come with such an expectancy each time. And I'm encouraging you, when you come in the service, to come with an expectancy for what God can do and how He could use you even in the service. I was so delighted last service to see that God, not just that he showed up, but that there was different ones that were participating. There was an anointing that happened, and there was a release that happened from every testimony, every word that was spoken. There were things that began to transpire in the Spirit, and I can tell you that there was an overflow of that Spirit into people's lives coming in the coming week. And I believe that there's been an overflow in your life and in others' lives that I can tell you of for sure, because there was for the twins, one of the twins got a huge blessing, as I understand it. And then Tina's mom got a financial breakthrough that was totally something. A door opened. It was totally unexpected. All that happened last week. And I can tell you that, like in Kim's case, there's been a transference. There's been a transformation in how she receives and thinks about herself versus the thing about food and stuff like that. And so those are just a couple of samples of what God could be doing in your life. The breakthroughs in our life are not limited to finance. The breakthroughs in our life are limited, are basically based on whatever it is that you have need of at this moment. But see, it happens because position our heart with passion. We position our heart with an expectation for God to do something. And that's what this word here, right? Day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 1. And so when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, or the King James says, one accord. Now, that doesn't mean they were all crammed into a Honda. There was 120 people. I don't think you're going to get them all into a little Honda, okay? They were all in one accord. In other words, they were all in one mind, one mind. But the better translation is one passion. See, when we become in one passion, we're never ever going to become equal in all things. That's not the purpose of it. God is, when we come together with a like passion, when we have a like passion with one another, when we begin to share with one another out of that passion, when we have an expectation out of that passion of God, when we allow our heart to burn with the thing that God put in it, when we allow our heart to burn simply because He shows up, that's the passion. See, that's the passion that changes us. That's the passion that releases us into a harvest. Because see, today there's a release of harvest for your life. There's a release of harvest becoming. Why? Because in this thing, see, when we understand what the day of Pentecost is, the day of Pentecost means it was, number one, it was 50. But it was 50 days, okay, since the last feast. Okay, it was 50 days. And what they were recognizing was in that moment that the harvest was completed. So we've been speaking about Jesus, and we've been speaking about encountering Him as the Omega, okay, as the Alpha and the Omega. When we encounter Him as the Alpha and the Omega, then we're beginning to interact with Him, not only from what was done, but what shall be done. And as we're interacting with Him about what shall be done, when we see this, then I'm seeing that He already, right there at that moment, right at the moment of Pentecost, right at the moment, that moment when the Holy Spirit was poured out, He declared in that moment that the whole harvest is already accomplished. You are in the harvest. And He said it was already accomplished right there that day. He saw it, and He's declaring it because that was a giving. That was a time of celebration of the completion of harvest. And so God is saying through that there was a completion already accounted to you. The rest of it is just up for us to step into it. And we step into it by an expectation that God is going to deliver through it. Hallelujah. See, the other thing that Pentecost had been known for was it was a time of the giving. It was a celebration of the giving of the law to Moses. But this Pentecost became a celebration of the giving of grace, because Jesus was grace. He was the realization of grace and truth. And so this Pentecost becomes a realization and a celebration of the giving of grace for our life. And that grace changes things, because that grace is what allows us to begin to identify with Him. That grace is what allows us to begin to step into the identity He assigned to us. That grace is what allows us to no longer have to be concerned about where we were or where we came from, but to be focused on what God has called us to. Because it's no longer about where we were. It's no longer about those things that we came out of. It's no longer about the things that we had need of. It's about who He called us to be. When our focus shifts into who He calls us to be, it creates a shift in our expectation. When our focus shifts about who He called us to be, it creates an atmosphere over our life that begins to form it and release the overcomer on our behalf. That's what is happening here. We see Holy Spirit being poured out, because Holy Spirit is integral to our understanding of our faith today. Holy Spirit is integral to that which is the life force within us, Christ within us. And it also says in John 14 that Holy Spirit will be with us now and forever. Now and forever. So in other words, when we begin to engage with Holy Spirit, we're engaging with eternity. When we begin to engage with Holy Spirit, we're engaging with something that just gives us a kingdom mindset. That takes us where the kingdom would have us to go. So even, see, and Keonta did a great job earlier, and she made mention, you know, our expectation doesn't need to be set on anyone or anything. Okay, I understand that the big screen is not working today. But that, you know what? Our worship experience shouldn't be changed. Our worship experience should be based on who Christ is in me. What is He doing in me? What is He doing right now? Where is He right now? Those are the things that we're looking to understand, and those are the things that we rejoice with Him in. So as we take a look at those things, as we take a look at these scriptures from that standpoint, then we can see that the coming of the Holy Spirit released something for us, because the overcomer has been released to you. There's something about when we recognize the burning within our heart. I can tell you, I feel the burning. When I walked in the building this morning, just as I walked in the building, I could still feel the burning. And the burning in my heart is signifying what God is doing, because He's changing something. He's changing an expectation in my heart. He's changing my expectation of the environment around me. He's changing something, because even in the moments when I was first knowing Him, when I was first coming to the point of accepting Him as my Lord and Savior, there was a burning in my heart at that moment. And I'm saying He's reawakening those things for us. And if we'll just participate with it, if we'll have an expectation for it, you receive it. And when that does, then things get to change in our atmosphere. Look what happened when Peter and Andrew encountered Christ, and he says, just simply to them, come with me, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Something must have already been burning in their heart. Why would you leave everything that you know? Why would you walk away from everything you know just because somebody, if I just walked up to you and just said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, you're probably going to look at me and say, okay, that job, bye. But something was burning in their heart. Something was burning. Why? And then we know that how that turned out for Peter and Andrew. Because we know the whole story, but what we don't think of is what it meant for them to move out on that word. See, for us to move out on the word requires that we have an expectation for the word's going to take us somewhere. They were following Him in the natural, but they had to also link up in the spirit. It may not have happened in that second, but there had to be something that stirred a curiosity that was kindled in that moment. We know that Peter, later on, when Peter's speaking, he identifies Jesus as the Christ. He identifies Peter Peter identifies Jesus as the Christ, and then Jesus says, well done. And he says, then he looks at him and says, now I call you the rock. as he begins to speak and release to him about being the rock, now then, somehow, now we get, you know, sometimes when we get a word, then we start trying to, you know, act out of that word before we're ready. So what happened with him right then in that moment? Right then, he gets the word, you're the rock. Peter, you're the rock. Baby, you're the one I'm building this whole church on. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen because, Lord, I'm making you a cornerstone. So what does Peter do? You know, minutes later, he's rebuking Jesus. Minutes later, he's rebuking Jesus. Why? Because the rock is here. There's something shifted. See, he's trying to grab a hold of that identity that he's being called to but not yet prepared for. He's been called to, and we see that even in the end, like the Lord is speaking to him on the day that he's going to be betrayed, and he's speaking to him, and he said, you know, Peter, you're going to fall away. Oh, no, Lord, not the rock. The rock would never fall away. But you know what? Sometimes we have a word and we're carrying a word and it's alive in us, but we're not quite ready to step into it yet. And so we know the essence of what happened in that moment was that there was Jesus did get lifted up, and the moment everyone fell away, including Peter. But Jesus never gave up on him. See, that's the point of this. You have a calling in your life. The Lord, grace is not going to give up on you. Grace is not going to quit. Grace is not going to stop. Mateo, it's not going to change. Grace is going to keep coming after you until you rise up and be the rock he's called you to be. Grace is not leaving you out. Grace is going to continue to lift you up and continue to speak, and it's going to continue to pray for you. It's because Jesus said what? I'm going to pray for you that when he sifts you, you may be laid down for a moment, but I'm going to call you back up. That's what happens. That's what happens. And see, we know that at the moment when we finally get back here to the day of Pentecost, we know that Jesus had already spoken to him and called him to tend his sheep. And as he called him to tend his sheep, he was just reaffirming, Lord, that Peter, I've called you to be a rock, but there's some things yet you haven't seen. But at the same time, I'm not going to quit on you. I'm going to continue to affirm who I've called you to be. See, your actions don't change the call of God. It doesn't change the call of God, Jonathan. It never shifts the call of God in your life. The call of God is still there. The call of God is calling you forward. The call of God is being imparted. The call of God is lifting you up. The call of God is bringing you into something that he's called you to be, something greater than you imagined for yourself. And we know that as he did so, something shifted in Peter. Because on the day of Pentecost, when the glory is poured out, we see Peter standing up. We see Peter finally becoming the rock that was prophesied. We see Peter finally embracing his destiny, but not only embracing it, carrying it fully. And that doesn't mean that Peter was perfect the rest of his life. That just means that he was finally embracing what God had called him to do. And even though he was a man of power for the hour, because even his shadow was healing people, there was still a time when he did something that caused him to fall away because he still wanted to side with the Jews instead of being straightforward about his faith in front of the Gentiles. But even in that moment, God has called him to be the rock. God is not going to stop just because you did something that was disappointing to you. God's not going to stop just because your actions didn't line up with what he's already called you to be, who he's called you to see yourself as. When we begin to have our identity in him, see, our identity can come from many things, but when our identity is in him, it makes all the change in the world. See, it's so easy to get identity from the wrong thing. When I was younger and in high school, see, I took my identity from the things that I was doing. Because, see, when something first comes into your life, it's a choice as to how you're going to respond. It's a choice at first. Then a choice becomes a habit. And a habit becomes an identity. But if that identity isn't the identity that Christ set, it's the wrong identity. When we have an identity in something besides what God has said about us, it's the wrong identity. That identity, when I was in high school, was in, how to say this in a way that we have kids, so. But my identity was in a way, was set in what I could do, the things that I could do out of my flesh, and how much I could involve my flesh in something that was not healthy. How much I could involve my flesh in the drug scene. How much I could do all those things. Because see, that was where my identity was. You either, when in high school, you either hung out with the ropers, or you hung out with the heads, or you hung out with the really smart people. But you hung out somewhere because whatever you had been doing became your identity. But none of those identities are who you are. None of those identities are who God called you to be. When we embrace what God called us to, we embrace His purpose for our life. When we embrace His purpose for our life, there can be an excitement and a burning desire in your heart that changes everything. There were two disciples walking to the road of Emmaus, and Jesus joined them. And when Jesus joined them, He began to explain to them all the things concerning Himself and concerning the Scriptures. And their comment when they got to the end of it, you can look it up in Luke 24, I believe it is. And when you look at it, they said this when they recognized Jesus. They say, were our hearts not burning? In other words, they had already recognized Him, but they didn't see it with their eyes at that moment. But their hearts were burning. I'm releasing you this morning with an attitude of a burning heart, with an attitude and an expectation of a heart that will burn for Him, a heart that will desire the change that He can bring forth, a heart that will desire all that He has set for you. Because in those things is the fullness of what God has called you to. Anything less than what God has called you to will leave you in a place that's not fulfilled. I know that in my life, I attained all the things that people told me would fulfill me. And yet I knew I wasn't fulfilled. Everything that people had said, if you'll do this, you'll be happy. If you'll do this, you'll find it and you'll be fulfilled. But the reality is, there is no fulfillment outside of Christ in us. Outside of hearing and heeding His voice. Outside of walking in who He called us to be. So I just leave you this morning with this charge. Let your heart this morning, this week, this morning, be set on the fire within. It doesn't matter how small or how dim it might feel at this moment. It's there. Will we set our sights upon letting Him stoke the fire? It's not by our strength. It's not by our might. It's not by our good works. It comes from our alignment. Allowing Him to be the one who's creating the identity. Allowing Him to be the one who's creating the purpose. Allowing Him to be the one who's speaking over our life. When that happens, the fire will be rekindled. The fire will begin to be a mighty flame. And as that happens, others are going to be touched. And so, Lord, this morning I just release the fire of God over every heart, the fire of God over every mind, the fire of God, Father, in these lives, Father, so that, Lord, that You can be seen over this land. You can be seen in this nation. You can be seen in this city. Why? Because, Lord, there's a hunger in this house. There's a hunger in these hearts, Father, to know You. And to Father, I thank You for calling them into a resurrection life, Father. I thank You, Father, for release, Father, a resurrection life and a resurrection power on their behalf, Father. Because, Lord, You know what You called them to be. And they, Father, are ready to hear Your heart. Hallelujah. Mr. Chris, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here.